Welcome to the Sunday Night There's a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Faye, a compulsive overeater from New York City. Welcome, Faye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. I was so excited to speak on this meeting when I heard that. It was for newcomers and returning members. And I'd just like to start with a quick prayer to the God of my understanding. God, I offer this qualification to you. Build with it and do with it as you will. Please relieve me of the bondage of self around this qualification that I might better do your will. Please take away any difficulties I might have, any ego, any insecurity. Please take those away so that victory over them might bear witness to someone I could help tonight of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen. And I hope that doesn't put anybody off. This is not a religious program. You're welcome to interpret God in any way that works for you. I use the word God. It's a word I've been comfortable with my whole life. I was raised in the church. As a child, I was taken to Sunday school. I grasped on to this God idea right away. I had a grandmother who was warm and round and wonderful and one of us for sure. And she was just the light of my life. And I believed then and still believe in the God that she believes in, which is just love. It's just love and kindness. And I know it when I see it. I know it when I feel it. I can hear it in people's voices. I see it in your faces. The thing that I call God is not definable outside of just this beautiful, positive, loving force with which I can align myself. I don't even try to define it any more specifically than that. And I bring up God immediately because this program has a textbook. And that book is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the purpose of that book, as stated in the book, is to bring us into relationship with a higher power, something higher and bigger and more powerful than ourselves. And I'm so grateful for that, because if I know anything at all, it's that I know nothing at all. I know nothing. I know nothing, and I am also powerless over food. I am recovered today. I am so gratefully recovered. Food is neutral today. I am, for the most part, joyous, happy, and free, although I still have difficult moments and difficult emotions because I'm a human being. But this food problem, as I came into these rooms with it, has been lifted. And I didn't believe that was possible. Just to describe the food problem for you, I started eating compulsively as a little child. That Sunday school I was talking about, they would give us, I started in probably diapers. And I parted way with that church, by the way, when I turned 12 or 13 and started asking difficult questions with which I wasn't thrilled with the answers. I sort of parted ways with religion in general, although I definitely see many, many good things about it. And I have friends who are religious. I have friends who are agnostic in this program. I have friends of varying beliefs, but we all believe in something that is good that we can align ourselves with. But that Sunday school, I loved it. I love going to Sunday school for one reason. There was a little snack they would give us, and it was a little package of saltine crackers and a little glass of juice. And it was a juice that was made out of some kind of colorful syrup that came in these big jugs, and they'd pour the syrup and then they'd mix it with water. I'm sure it was glucose and food coloring and flavoring. But I couldn't wait to get to Sunday school to have that little snack. I'm so sorry, my dog is barking. He'll stop shortly. yeah, I couldn't wait to get there for that little snack. I was probably in diapers or just out of diapers. I remember certain baby foods very, I remember the sound of my mom popping the lid on the baby food jar. You know, it makes me salivate. Still, I started eating compulsively as a baby. There was some volatility in my home, but I believe I was born this way. I believe I was born a compulsive overeater. My beautiful grandmother, who I told you about, she was one of us. And thank God, I think she saved my life. At my house, my mother was thin and beautiful. She still is. And I grew up in her beauty shop. She had a beauty shop in Texas. And so it was very, very appearance driven. And that was her, you know, that was her way of empowering people. She would make things beautiful. She would make people beautiful. And she had this little child who I was fat from a pretty young age. I didn't know it until I started school. But I remember sitting on a swing on the playground in first grade, and another child came up and said, "You're fat." And I said, "I am? I didn't even know, you know." But from the minute that was put into my head, I was like, "Oh, okay, I am, I am." And then I was teased, because children are cruel. I was teased about my weight at school, and it was so painful. And I would come home crying, and my mom wanted to empower me. So she did everything she could to help me with this food issue. She took me to Weight Watchers when I turned 9, and she started weighing and measuring my food, which was somewhat effective. You know, she controlled everything that went into my mouth. She weighed and measured my food. But then on the weekends, I'd go to my granny's house. And my granny always had something on the stove, something in the oven. Her house smelled like shortbread cookies. And she and I, oh my gosh, all week I'd have my little weighed and measured food plan at home. And then granny and I would eat chocolate frosting out of a can with a spoon, you know, and that was heaven. That was my heaven. So food, by the time I was a teenager, I remember my mom would have these weigh-ins where she would, on weekends, she would put us on the scale. And my sister was always 99 pounds, soaking wet. And my mom was always 120, exactly what I was when Daddy and I got married. And I weighed as much as my dad. And I'm laughing now, but at the time it was deeply, deeply, deeply shameful. I was mortified by my weight. And early on, I started hiding and sneaking food. I was a little afraid of my dad. He was an electrician, and he drove a truck that had tools in it. And I would hear his truck coming into the driveway. I would hear the tools clanging and banging. And I would grab something out of the fridge and run and hide in my room and lock my door and hide with my stash. It was my comfort. I found ease and comfort in food. It was physically anesthetizing. It would take the edge off my anxiety, off my sadness. It would take the edge off my feelings. And it was also a conversation changer. thinking about food and sneaking food and getting food and how am I going to get food was such an easier conversation than I'm scared of my dad, you know? How am I going to get food? Should I eat this? Should I eat that? What if I don't eat this? Am I going to get skinny? Will I ever be skinny? Am I fat? How fat am I? That conversation about food and weight was so much easier than the conversation in my head and my heart about, am I shameful? I think I'm shameful. You know, I felt so ashamed of my body and my inability to control my weight and my inability to stop eating. This followed me all my life. In 1990, here in New York City, I went to my first OA meeting. I walked up Lexington Avenue to a church basement on the Upper East Side. And I remember walking up Lexington Avenue, being unable to make eye contact with anyone because I was so ashamed and I was so beaten down by this battle I had had with the food. And I walked into this room, I sat down, and people started sharing their stories. And I couldn't believe it. It was like people were telling my story. All the things that I had done, they had also done. And all the feelings that were in my heart were also in their hearts, and all this shame I had, and all this lifelong, exhausting struggle, this losing battle. People understood. I had found my tribe. I related in immediately. I didn't get the solution immediately, but just being able to be in a room full of people who could define and identify with the problem was such a huge relief. I didn't feel alone anymore. We talked about our countless vain attempts. And I normally don't go into my foodalog, but since there are newcomers here, I'm going to share with you some of my countless vain attempts, some of the things I've tried, and I'll just go through this quickly. Maybe you'll relate to some of it. I tried doing it by myself. I tried strong-arming a solution. If I could just be strong enough and good enough and smart enough, I can do this. I tried finding the right sponsor. If I could find just the right person, they will fix me. And I knew what my list was like. It needs to be somebody really, really kind and really, really smart who's not going to ask me to do anything I don't want to do. Didn't work. I tried joining gyms that I never went to. Thousands I've spent on gym memberships. My Fitness Pal, Paleo, Keto, South Beach, Cleanses, Fast, the Scarsdale Diet, Jane Fonda, Lean Cuisine, Richard Simmons, the Cambridge Diet, Thin Thighs in 30 Days, 17 Magazine, this goes way back, Lose 30 Pounds in 30 Days, Nutrisystem, Atkins Bars, Slim Fast, AIDS Candies, Calories In, Calories Out, the Noom app, intermittent fasting, intuitive eating, body acceptance, the New Age movement, New Age philosophy, the power of positive thinking, reading inspirational books, Magic Mondays. I'll start on Monday. I'll start on my birthday. I'll start on December 1st at 1:11 a.m. I'll start on New Year's Eve at midnight. Going to 90 meetings in 90 days, working the tools with all my heart. Geographic moves. I moved to London. I had this fantasy that I was going to be a different person in London. Eat this, don't eat that. Fat burning supplements, gluten-free, sugar-free, gluten-free and sugar-free. Stimulants, self-hypnosis, shots. I went to this doctor in London who shot something into my ass. I don't even know what it was. I don't even know if he was a doctor. He had this sign on his door, but I don't know if he was a doctor. But my friends were going to him and they said they were getting skinny. And I was like, hey, I'll do that. Who knows what that man put into my body? I'm pretty sure he gave me amphetamines. And by the way, all of these things worked for like a little bit. Like a week, maybe a few days, a week, a few weeks max. Throwing food in the garbage, getting it out. I tried resolve. I tried making up my mind, getting perspective on it. Fear didn't work. I was literally terrified and humiliated of having to show up in a fat body. And that did nothing for me. Reasoning did nothing. Talking about it, learning the truth about myself, nothing. That's not my solution. Willpower, memory, suffering, the suffering. I am someone who is unable to recall with sufficient force the suffering of literally 10 minutes ago. Like, I would binge and be in so much pain and throw the food out and put dishwashing liquid on the food. I will never do that again. Never will I hurt myself like that again. And as soon as I wasn't sick, I'd be eating again. I threw money at the problem. I tried staying on guard. You know, I'm going to stay on guard. I'm going to really be on guard. The problem with being on guard, who's the guard? It's always going to be that moment when I open the door. And lastly, I want to say that I tried praying sincerely with all my heart to a God that I believe in with all my heart, to a God that I believe to be omniscient and omnipotent. And that didn't work. Like, please, God, take this from me. Didn't work. And a weighed and measured food plan that eliminated all of my alcoholic foods. That also didn't work. Following a weighed and measured food plan that took out all my allergic foods didn't work. What worked? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I remove the word alcohol and put in the word food, this is my story. This is so my story. And when I started working with my current sponsor, the first thing she said to me is, congratulations, the war is over. You lost. And I had such mixed feelings about that because this was a war I'd been trying to win my whole life. And it's like, I lost. That's the good news. And she's like, yeah, that's the good news. You can take off the armor. You can put down the heavy weapons and you can just come lie on the grass and feel the sun on your skin and feel this breeze because you no longer have to fight. That battle is over. You lost. So what did she have me do? Well, she took me through this book. She read through this book with me, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she took me through 12 really clear, simple steps in order. And what's interesting about the 12 steps is that only one of them talks about food. Like, only the very first one talks about food. And it tells me that I'm powerless over it. And the reason I'm powerless over food, and I recognize this in myself immediately, is because I have this thing in me that is akin to an allergy. Not an allergy like you eat strawberries and you get a rash, but an allergy like an abnormal reaction. I have a reaction to certain foods that other normal eaters don't have. I have friends who can eat cupcakes and popcorn and cookies with impunity. I see them do it. Like, not only can they eat them without consequence, they can stop eating them. They can just take a few bites. Oh, this is really sweet, or this is really rich. I'm good. And forget about them. I have friends right now who have kids who have like big buckets of Halloween candy in their houses, and it's just like furniture to them. But I'm not that person. I'm a compulsive eater. So there are certain foods to which I react the way an alcoholic reacts to alcohol. If a normal drinker can have a few drinks with impunity, an alcoholic, if he takes a drink, he can't stop. And that's how I am with those particular foods. And I have, so the problem here is that I can't just not eat them. I can stop eating those foods and stop triggering that physical allergy, but I have a second thing, which is this mental twist, which is like a built-in forgetter that tells me, well, maybe you can eat that. I mean, it's your birthday. You could have a few bites of that thing. You know, even though I have literally, I just read this list to you. I've tried all those things to stop. I've tried literally since childhood to stop. But there's this thing in my head that even with all this information about my physical allergy, even though I know that if I start eating certain foods, I can't stop, for some reason, I can't stop from restarting. I had had years of abstinence from those foods and relapsed. I had had multiple years of abstinence from those foods, watched my life change. Like my life was revolutionized by abstinence, revolutionized by abstaining from those foods and finding myself neutral and being able to like go to Starbucks and just not even notice anything in that case. Like there was just furniture to me, like a normal person, like a normal person. And then after a year or so, I would be in a certain situation and I would think, and if my disease had a voice, this is what it sounds like. I would think, well, it sounds like that. Well, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot about myself. That I've come a long way and I've got this community now and I've got all this support. This thing, this mental twist means that I'm always going to want to pick up again unless I experience a psychic change. Some people call this a spiritual awakening. Some people call it a psychic change. But basically, the way I have lived my whole life needed to be shifted and recalibrated. I needed to be connected to something bigger than myself. So that first step, in that first step, my sponsor showed me and helped me to see that I have an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. But more than that, I have a spiritual malady. My whole life, I have eaten to soothe and comfort this spiritual malady, this dis-ease that I have had, this discomfort. My whole life, food was, it's so funny. I came into these rooms thinking that food was my problem. But first I came in thinking weight was my problem. And if I could just lose weight, everything would be fine. Then I realized, okay, well, maybe weight isn't my problem. It's a food problem. It's a food problem. And if I could just manage this food, everything would be fine. Now I understand that what I had was a life problem. What I had was a life problem. And what I needed was a spiritual solution to that problem. And that's what steps 2 through 9 give me. So this book lays out a solution to our problem that's really clear and simple and methodical, and it's step by step. I have a sponsor who took me through these steps, and now I am a sponsor, and I take other people through these steps using this book, which the foreword tells me shows us precisely how we've recovered. The first thing I read with my sponsor was the foreword, and it said, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous," this of course was published in the 30s, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book." So.
Hey, you got 6 minutes.
Thank you so much. I remember when we read this, like, I know that there are millions of recovered people all over the world, millions in Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Nicotine Anonymous, Al-Anon, Alateen, Clutterers Anonymous. There are so many programs with so many people who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state, from substances, from addictive behaviors, from addictive modes of thinking, using these 12 steps. And I'm so excited to be one of them. The only requirement for membership in this particular program is the desire to stop eating compulsively. And if you can find yourself a sponsor who can take you through this book and guide you through it with these steps, you can experience a psychic change. I know that for a fact because I have. I never dreamed that my life wouldn't be about the size of my body, that it wouldn't be about what I've eaten or what I haven't eaten or what I can't. And by the way, I can eat like a normal person today, just not those foods. When I avoid those foods, and when I stay connected to this way of life I've been given, I can eat the other foods like a normal person. I understand now how normal people operate in the world because that's how I am in this recovery. As long as I refrain from picking up those alcoholic foods, and as long as I live a life in which I'm constantly recalibrating, like I need a daily check-in, I need a daily reminder, I need to see your faces, I need to hear your stories, I need to tell you my story so that I don't forget what happened here, because it did not emanate from me. It came from a process that was outlined for me using this book. And it's funny, I came in here just wanting to lose weight, just wanting to be able to not hurt myself the way I was hurting myself. And what I've been given is a really meaningful way to walk through the world. I feel like I have a life of meaning and purpose today. I can be of service to other people. My life is not just about me today and what I want. It's about being part of a greater good. Because I'm aligned today with this force for good, wherever I go, there's an agent of good on the scene. I get to be a powerful agent, a force for good wherever I am. And that's what's on offer here. We get to have lives of meaning. I hope this is helpful. I always feel so inadequate when I try to, when I qualify because something happened to me that I find hard to define and hard to describe, but I can tell you that it came from working the 12 steps as outlined in this book. And if it happened for me, oh my God, it can happen for anybody. It can happen for anybody. And at the beginning of this book, where it says more than 100 people who have recovered from this seemingly hopeless state, just as an exercise, I looked in my phone and I personally know, and have phone numbers for, and have had conversations with more than 100 people who have experienced the same thing. I know more than 15 people who have lost more than 150 pounds and kept it off, and who are living meaningful lives worth living, who are happy, joyous, and free. If you're interested, text me. I'll give you their phone numbers and they'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. If you've experienced it, thank you for going ahead of me and paving the way. If you have yet to experience it, trust me, it's here, it's on offer. It's real. This is real. I didn't believe the people who were saying they had stopped fighting anyone or anything.
And 1 minute.
I know that it's true. So I feel like someone reached out their hand to me from this golden sunlit place and pulled me in and said, look, no, it's over here. Come over here. And they pulled me into the sunlight. And I now want to do that for other people and sponsoring. Oh my gosh, which is how we keep this. That's how I keep it, by passing it on to someone else. When my sponsor told me I would be a sponsor, it felt like so much pressure and I felt so inadequate. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm good enough. And I can tell you now, it is my greatest joy sharing this with other people, because it works and I get to see it work and I get to watch people change. I get to watch their eyes light up. I get to watch them transformed. I get to watch their marriages, their relationships, their homes, their finances, I get to watch their whole lives heal. And P.S. I lost 60 pounds, you know, the thing, you know, the least of the gifts that's come out of this program. I hope I said something that was helpful, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Faye.